technology. Good morning. I truly wish you all a very good morning. Here we are together, together in a different way. One day deeper into Sesshin, one day deeper into investigating the mind. So how are you doing? Really, how are you doing? Maybe you could give me the old thumbs up, thumbs down, or sideways. I see, let me see, I need to go to some other pages too. Well, it looks like overall we're doing pretty good with some not so sure. But I think we're doing good. We're here. Also about investigating the mind. I don't know about yours, but mine has quite a few opinions about our online Samish Zoom session. Of course, my mind usually has quite a few opinions when I'm at Samish too. So I should not find it too noteworthy that it's acting this way. It goes all over the place, even in Sesshin. For example, yesterday, the food that Laura and Jim cooked for us at Samish was featured prominently. And I thought it would be really nice to have that feature during online Samish too. On Saturday, I was thinking fresh mowed lawns, swallows nesting and flitting all over the place, catching insects to feed their young. It never ceases to amaze me that when I am quiet enough, I can hear that kissy snapping sound of their beaks closing. This, of course, that sweet little kissing sound is also the last thing that insect in question will hear. I was thinking about walking from the Zendo to the dining hall, seeing freighters in the strait heading north, rabbits and baby rabbits hopping all over the place, herons standing in the tide flats, pine cones arranged along the path by someone with a creative mind. And let's not forget the spectacular sunsets we have experienced there. The way we all wander out after the last period of Zazen, just watching in wonder how the sun drops into the ocean behind the islands. Samish is always calling me home, home to myself, home to practice. Now I will have to ask your indulgence, because I will kind of give two different Dharma talks today. Or maybe I should call it a talk in two chapters. Maybe Dharma talk is not even the right word for the first part of the talk. It is a look back at this last year and the current state of COVID. It is simply something I feel compelled to say, to share. Not saying it would have left me feeling less than honest. that bit about us looking pretty good and being in Sesshin and griping about Zoom, I'm talking about myself here, and all that screen time. And you know what? That means that we are the lucky ones. A year ago, online Samish 2020, I know it seems like a really long time ago. To me, it was really scary. I did not want to get sick. Somehow the thought of COVID was just really very strong for me. I did not want to get intubated and die surrounded by machines clicking away. And it was frankly horrifying. I had a very strong feeling about this all. And this is what I have been noticing lately, now that most of us here in the US are vaccinated. I'm noticing that there are many people who would like to just put on a mask when they go out shopping, but other than that, forget what we've been through, forget the many people who have died. There are lotteries awarding cash prizes to entice people into getting vaccinated. The conversation seems to center on how can we get those slackers back to work and off the unemployment rolls. There are jobs in fast food restaurants. There's no need for anybody to be unemployed. This is a very privileged point of view. And we should really think about whether this is the right thing to approach restarting the economy, whether it should be focused on just gain and gain for the very rich. So also the numbers and the health status, let me reframe it this way. The US may be done, mostly done with COVID, or maybe would like to be done with COVID. But many, many people worldwide are still in the middle of this fight. India seems to have established a downward trend of new COVID-19 infections, which is really wonderful because the suffering there was terrible and still is. Brazil, on the other hand, has barely been able to just simply level out the number of infected people, unfortunately, at a very high rate. At any given time since early March, more than 1 million people have been sick with COVID at any given time in Brazil. 1,300,000 at its worst, but unfortunately, the leveling out happened at 1,100,000 sick people. Also, many poor countries will not be able to vaccinate significant portions of their population for several years unless first world nations step in and assist. This is the status as reported by the World Health Organization this week. Global case and death incidences continued to decrease with over 3 million new cases and over 73,000 new deaths reported in the past week, a 15% and an 8% decrease, respectively, as compared to the week before. In the past week, the European and Southeast Asia regions reported marked declines in the number of new cases, while the African region reported an increase as compared to the previous week, end quote. Why am I bringing this up in our session? Like I said before, we too would probably enjoy to move on to something more pleasant. But the virus continues to have other ideas. Oh, one last number. More than 3,600 US healthcare workers died in COVID's first year. One more statistic related to that. Two-thirds of the deceased healthcare workers were people of color. This is again revealing deep inequities tied to race, to color. Draws us a picture of the healthcare workforce in America. Most of those who died were lower paid workers who handled everyday patient care, including nurses, support staff, and especially nursing home employees. These are the folks who were most likely to die in the pandemic as healthcare workers. More than half of those who died were younger than 60. In the general population, the median age of death from COVID is 78. Yet among healthcare workers, it was 59. More than a third of the healthcare workers who died were born outside the United States. Those from the Philippines accounted for a disproportionate number of deaths. Nurses and support staff members died in far higher numbers than physicians, proportionately. All this suffering, this pain, this fear, it's very real. On the other hand, we are in Sesshin, not quite at the halfway point. I am surrounded by my teachers and many of my most favorite people. I have a roof over my head. I have food to eat. Nobody shot at me today or yesterday. On one hand, great suffering. On the other hand, comfort, being with friends, being home. It is like so much in our practice. Facts that apparently contradict each other coexist. And this is important. They do not hinder each other. They are tied together simply through existing, tied together by time, tied together by being. So, this is the end of chapter one of my talk. the rest of the talk will be more traditional. And I would like to share what came up for me through the Dharma talks by Norman and by Tim from these last 2 days. I felt this great feeling of warmth, of gratitude and connection. To be so fortunate to live in a world, a time, a place where I can freely choose a religion without significant discrimination. I am deeply grateful to my teacher, Soketsu Norman Fisher, and to Red Cedar Zen guiding teacher, Nomon Tim Burnett. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to give a voice to those who suffer from the pandemic, to those who cannot speak for themselves any longer. I also appreciate that Norman and Tim told us a bit about the lives of teachers who passed recently. My gratitude to them too. I myself never had the privilege to study with Sojourn Mel Weitzman in person, but he was the teacher of my beloved teacher. So how can I not know him? Homage to Sojourn Mel Weitzman, homage to Jay Simoneau, Yucho Rincho, courageous completion, bright presence, who was our brother in the Dharma. To them all, I am offering a poem by Dogen Zenji. Drifting pitifully in the whirlwind of birth and death, as if wandering in a dream. In the midst of illusion, I awaken to the true path. There is one more matter I must not neglect, but I need not bother now. As I listen to the sound of the evening rain falling on the roof of my temple retreat in the deep grass of Fukakusa. Drifting pitifully in the whirlwind of birth and death, as if wandering in a dream. In the midst of illusion, I awaken to the true path. There is one more matter I must not neglect, but I need not bother now. As I listen to the sound of the evening rain falling on the roof of my temple retreat in the deep grass of Fukakusa. I thank all the teachers and all the bodhisattvas who have lived throughout time and who have made the teachings, the Dharma, available. Together we live and practice. The thread extends from the Buddha through Mahakashyapa, through Ananda, through Bodhidharma, through Dogen, straight to our Zoom room session. And while I may not always love technology, it is spreading the Dharma in this age. There are many sanghas, online teachings, Zoom meditation groups. So maybe I should not listen to my own grumbling about it. As you may know, Red Cedar Zen has a Dogen study group, which has had surprise visitors from as far away as New York City. Actually, as a result of this study group, you will hear a bit more about Dogen today and his practice. If you should be new to Soto Zen, here is the shortest possible cliff notes about Dogen Zenji. Eihei Dogen, also known as Dogen Zenji, lived in Japan in the 13th century. He traveled to China and had a deep awakening practicing under his teacher Ruijing. Upon return to Japan, he founded what we know nowadays as the Soto Zen School. This is what we are practicing right here, right now, just sitting. Oh, and also, do you remember Bodhidharma's description of Zen characteristics? A special transmission outside the scriptures, not depending on words and letters, directly pointing to the mind, seeing into one's true nature and attaining Buddhahood. Well, Dogen did not depend on words and letters, and he left us with many, many pages of words and letters, a true treasure of the Dharma. In response to Bodhidharma's statement, he crafted this poem. Not limited by language, it is ceaselessly expressed. So too, the way of letters can display, but not exhaust it. Like I said, Dogen did indeed leave us with many words, many fascicles or essays, letters and Dharma talks, and actually a few rants. The range of topics he covered is incredibly wide. Some of the talks were very practical and addressed living together in a healthy way. They address sanitation, how to cut your fingernails, a brief rant that they do not know how to brush teeth in China, and what to do if the toilet is a mess. On the other hand, there were talks like Genjo Koan, the koan of the current moment, or Uchi, the time being, which reveals key ideas of our practice that now have been investigated for centuries by many scholars and practitioners. And yet, I believe they will never be exhausted. And the beautiful poems Dogen left us. I hadn't known that Dogen wrote poetry until I was quite deep into studying. This is what Dogen said about coming home. Treading along in this dreamlike illusory realm, without looking for the traces I may have left, a cuckoo's song beckons me to return home. Hearing this, I tilt my head to see who has told me to turn back. But do not ask me where I am going as I travel in this limitless world, where every step I take is my home. Treading along in this dreamlike illusory realm, without looking for the traces I may have left, a cuckoo's song beckons me to return home. Hearing this, I tilt my head to see who has told me to turn back. But do not ask me where I am going as I travel in this limitless world, where every step I take is my home. So I do appreciate that we still call this Samish Sesshin, while our bodies are all over the map. It is such a fine feeling of continuity. It feels like Sesshin never ends. And this year we continue where we left off last year and the year before and the year before that. This tradition of a rains retreat began in the Buddha's time. We do know that Dogen also practiced rains retreats. And even though my own practice of only 2 decades is relatively short, somehow the leap to Aichi, Dogen's mountain monastery, does not appear so huge. In my heart, I am not perceiving the sprawling temple complex in existence in the 21st century. I imagine the Aichi of Dogen's time, maybe while they were just finishing up, some construction materials stashed away in a corner, the kitchen just being finished, and the Tenzo trying to figure out how to make things work and where to put everything. I imagine being there, listening to Dogen speak, practicing together. Like tangled hair, the circular delusion of beginning and end, when straightened out, a dream no longer. Said Dogen. Like tangled hair, the circular delusion of beginning and end, when straightened out, a dream no longer. So perhaps I can encourage you to practice a bit with the expansive feeling left by these poems. Dogen Zenji's words reach out to us across space and time, from Japan to the Western United States, from the 13th century to the 21st. Nothing is left out in our practice. Everything is included. COVID and practice enlightenment, Zazen and unstable internet connections. We turn toward and embrace that which is difficult. The hard things, become intimate with it. Overarching is the teaching of our school. And I would like to leave us all with this poem as an encouragement to continue practicing. Colors of the mountains, streams in the valleys, one in all in one, the voice and body of our Shakyamuni Buddha. Colors of the mountains, streams in the valleys, all in one, the voice and body of our Shakyamuni Buddha. I hope you can take something away from the talk. And if you don't, please absolutely forget it and return to our practice. Thank you very much. May our intention equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Illusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. I vow to become it.